charades. How many played charades before? Okay. We've looked at Trivial Pursuit. We've looked at Monopoly, and now charades. Trivial Pursuit. That's focusing on things that really don't matter. Amen? Trivial things. Monopoly was material pursuit. That's focusing on stuff that doesn't really matter. And today we're going to look at the game of charades, and that is the potential pursuit. And you know, that might not be a word, but it is a word in the South. All right, so there you go. And you happen to be in the South. Amen? So, the potential pursuit. Are you in the pretentious pursuit of being someone or something you're not? We want to look at that today. I really want you to get focused with it. Maybe set up, you know, and get focused. Can you help me here? You ready? All right, for the message this morning. I'm excited about today's message. Charades. When Jesus came, the religious were playing games. And we're fixing to come into the Christmas season. And when Jesus came, when He was born, when He grew up, when He lived here on this planet, people were playing games. The religious were. They were playing games, say it with me, with God. Playing games with God. And that's sort of where we're headed today. Being somebody you're not. Just playing a game. Many people live their whole lives playing a game. It reminds me of the scripture where, Lord, Lord, I did this and I did that in Your name. Don't You remember? He says, say it with me if you know it. I never knew you. Playing games with God. I hope that today, the fact that you're here today, you're in this building today, you can be different today. It's going to be tough on you. It might be that you're going to have to admit, yes, I'm playing games. Spiritually, I don't have a relationship with God. Who I am and what I am is a sham. And He knows it. Let's look at it. When Jesus came, the religious were playing games. So don't you think that today, a couple of thousand years later, that folks are probably still playing games? Say. I mean, if they did it back then, you think folks are still doing it now? Yes or no? Yes. And I'd be a fool to think that it doesn't happen here. So let's look at it. Charades. Several scriptures, some I'll read. You might want to write them down. I might not get a chance to do all of them. John 1:11. Say it with me. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Can you imagine? In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and was not anything made that was made. Except by Him. And can you imagine? The Creator comes to His creation and His what? Own. Received Him what? Not. But wait, they're religious. What's that all about? They were playing games with God, with Jesus Christ. Just some scripture to lay the foundation to get us somewhere. Then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the Son of David? But when the Pharisees, the religious, heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And bottom line is, the religious were saying Jesus was powered by Satan. Here Jesus comes on the scene, casts demons out of people, and the religious, not the low-life losers, the religious, those that should really know, are saying, you're powered by the devil. You're doing what you do in the power of Satan. They were playing games with God. They didn't even recognize Him. Do you understand where I'm coming from today? Didn't even know Him. Chapter 23, Matthew. You blind guides which strain at a gnat, Jesus talking, and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like unto whited sepulchres, tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You know what that kind of language, that was Jesus talking. That was tantamount to cussing, in my view, in this day. That's the Son of the living God that's calling the religious. You couldn't get any higher on the rung, friend. And he was right in their face. He was saying on the inside, on the outside, you look so good, baby, but inside you stink. Can you hear it say? He didn't know him. He came unto his own received him not. Jesus went into the temple of God. He cast all of them out that sold and bought in the temple. And he overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. Watch it. And said unto them, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've made it into a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him into the temple and he healed them. But watch this. And when the chief, what? Say it with me. Priest and the scribes, they saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Say it with me. They were sore. What? He came unto his own. Say it with me. And his own received him not. They were playing games with God. And while he yet spake, Matthew 26, Judas, one of the 12. Judas' name has become synonymous with those that play games, with those that pretend to be somebody that they're not. They came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests. Look, there they are again, right? And elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall, what? Kiss. Charades. That same as he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, charades. Hail, Master. And kissed him. Judas was playing games with who? With God. Playing games with God. Chapter 27, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people, there they are, here they are. The religious leaders, they took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And there's more scriptures that we won't read. Here's the bottom line. We're getting somewhere, so hang in here with me. This isn't a message. We're just getting somewhere. I want you to see that Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. The religious leaders, they didn't even recognize him. They didn't even know who he was. Would you know him? Would you know him? Oh, I'd know him if he showed up with a big bright light on his head. And yeah, we'd know him. Would you know him? If he came like he came to them, could you recognize Jesus Christ by who he is, his character, his works, his personality, his deeds? Would you know him? Do you know him today? Well, they delivered him and Jesus was crucified. And 3 days later, hallelujah, say it with me, he arose from the dead. Amen. And watch it. About 50 days later, the church was born. The church was born. When Jesus came, it wasn't, quote, called the church. It was like synagogue and assemblies and things like that. It was a mess. You know what I mean? He came and they didn't even know him. Tell you what. What a difference Jesus can make. Amen? What a difference Jesus can make. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. And then the church was born. And now we're getting to where I want to go. And that is looking at the church. We want to look at the passion and the power that the church possessed. And let's just read the scriptures real quick. Acts 2, 42 through 47. I want you to get the feel now. I want you to see the difference. These people weren't playing games with God. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. And in breaking of bread and in prayer, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Boy, doesn't this sound better, say? This sounds good. And all that believed were together. They had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods. They parted them to all men as every man had need. They cared for people. And they continuing daily with one accord, no fussing, fighting, bickering. in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They praised God. They had favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church, say it with me, daily, such as should be saved. This thing's rocking and rolling, isn't it? And it's great. The church is on the right path. They're not playing games with God. Things are happening. Look at Acts 4, 32. And the multitude of them, still talking about the early church, that believed, were of one heart. They were of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. This is mine. Give me this. Belong to me. They didn't talk like that. But they had all things in common. They had sweet fellowship. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses, they sold them. And they brought the prices of the things unto the apostles. They laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. When people had a need, they met it. And then it mentions this guy. And Joseph, who's by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation. A Levite of the country of Cyprus. Look at what he did. He had land. He sold it. He brought the money. And he laid it at the apostles' feet. Did you feel a difference, say, in the scriptures I read in Matthew and the scriptures we read in Acts? Did you feel a real momentum swift? Woohoo! Amen? That's the church I want to be in, amen? That's what I want to do. But guess what? Satan wasn't happy. Satan was not happy with their passion and their power. So here we go. He introduced, say it with me, some pretenders. See, Satan was really happy, 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 happy when Jesus came. He had the whole joint full of pretenders, didn't he? Look at me, baby. They wanted to pray in the corners. They wanted the highest seat in the temple. It was all about them and not about him. So Satan was tickled pink, man. But Jesus came. He died. He rose from the dead. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus can come in your life, which seems to be a life that is going nowhere. And the fact that he died and he rose from the dead, if you embrace that and you believe that, let me tell you something. Your life can be different as night and day as well. And that's what happened here. Difference of night and day. So Satan's ticked off. He's mad as a hornet, mean as a snake. And he introduces some pretenders. And that's where we're going with our message today. First of all, we got to look at the players, okay? It's all an act, right? Pretending is all a what? It's all an act. So who's the players? Well, we got a husband and wife we're going to see today. We've got Satan. We've got God the Holy Ghost. Peter. Some young men. And we got some church folk. All right? Let's go now to the scriptures and let's look at it. Act 1. We're going to keep rolling right with the scriptures. If you're with me in Acts chapter 4, you just noticed we finished up, and now we're going to turn the page, and we're in Acts chapter 5, verse number 1. Act 1. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price. His wife also being what? Privy or private to it. So this was a private matter, wasn't it? Between who? Between the two of them. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the what? So what was the possession they sold? It was land. While it remained, was it not your own? Peter says. And after it was sold, wasn't it in your own power to do with it what you wanted? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied unto men, but you've lied unto who? Do you get the gist? I mean, things were going great. And Satan got ticked off, and he introduced some pretenders, his husband and wife, and this is the hubby. Bottom line, you can see the story. It's plain English. You don't need much of explanation. They saw what Barnabas did, right? They saw that Barnabas sold it. They saw how excited the people got. Oh, we got something we can sell. And so they came up with a plan. Yeah, we'll sell it. But guess what? We'll keep back part of it. But we'll pretend to give it what? Oh. Did they need to sell it, yes or no? Uh-uh. If they wanted to give part of it, wasn't it their choice? Yes or no? Wouldn't there be anything wrong with that? Let me tell you something. If you've got a big old fancy piece of property you want to sell and you want to give a portion up to Fellowship Church, praise God, we'll take it. Amen. Amen? Sure we will. Absolutely. It is up to you if you do it with the right heart attitude. It is up to you on what you're going to do. It's not up to me to tell you what to do. It's up to you to be led by the Holy Spirit and to decide what you want to do. It's not up to me. And Peter said, wasn't it your choice? You did this. You chose to do what you did. You lied, not unto men, but you lied unto who? God. So that's act number one. Now, let's move. Oh, I didn't finish the story. Back it up. And Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down. He gave up the ghost. That means he was deader than a hammer. And great fear came upon all them that heard these things. That's the church folk, another folk. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and what? Buried him. Bingo. All right? Act one. Well, every good drama has an intermission, right? So here's the intermission. Here we go. Y'all want to get up and stretch? No, don't. Here we go. Here's the intermission. 1, 2, 3 hours pass. 3 hours pass in our story. If you've got your Bible, you're seeing it. It's here on the screen for you. Here it is. Act 2. It's all an act. Ananias was acting. And now here comes the wife. And she's acting. Same song, second verse. When I had the children years ago, we would do this. And I'll just embarrass the tar out of them right now, okay? When we were raising our kids, hey, Mitchell, listen to me, son. I'm preaching. Here we go. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I'm fixed to embarrass you. I want it to be a good moment. Here we go. Anyway, years ago when we had the kids, we would come up with wacky songs. How many parents you did that? You sang a little wacky song. Well, here's one we did. Way down yonder, not so very far off. Do you know it? The hooping bird got the hooping cough. He hooped so hard with the hooping cough that he hooped his head and his tail right off. Same song, second verse, a little bit louder and a little bit worse. Way down, young nuts. You remember that, son? You remember how good you did at that? Where's Elise? Do you remember where you at, baby? You were good at that. Oh, it was beautiful, baby. Beautiful. Listen. Same song, second verse. That's what's happening now. Act 1 had passed. 3 hours later, Sapphira. Watch it. And it was about the space of how many? 3 hours. When his wife, this is huge, not knowing what was done. She came in. Boy, not knowing what was done can kill you. You know that? And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband are at the door and shall carry you out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Bang, dead as a hammer too. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Okay, are you with me so far? Boy, there's a lot of movement in this story, isn't there? I mean, it started out that Jesus came into his own received him not, and then he died, and whoa, the church is born, and things are great. And Satan was ticked off because of their passion and power that they had. So he introduced some what? Pretenders. What a damper, huh? Say. I mean, having a good time, right? What happened at church yesterday? Well, two people were killed. I mean, that's not a good thing for the newspaper. You see what I'm saying? What do they do at your church? Well, yes, they killed two people. That's not a good thing, man. That's what happened. Pretending. But this was bigger than those two pretenders, and it was bigger than the devil. And the church still carried on. Amen? Triumphant, and great fear fell upon the people. And they started, I mean, there was tremendous things, miracles, healings, the gospel went forth. It was fantastic. But let's see what we can learn today from what we've seen. And this is where I really need your attention. Really. Here's what we're going to do. This is where we're going to try to bring it together. Now listen to me. Playing games with God. Were they playing games with God? Yes or no? They're playing some serious games with God. It was their choice to do it. So let's look at some basic facts. Here we go. Pretending. I want to give you some basic facts about pretending. And maybe you know these already. Here you go. It's private. Pretending is private. Okay? Usually only you're the one who knows in here if you really are a sham. Spiritually, you're the only one. You're the only one. You pulled the wool over everybody's eyes and even over your own. Usually, pretending is a private thing. In our story today, it was private, but it was between the two of them. But usually it's a private thing. Number two, basically I've got these things from the story. Number two, it's of the devil. Did you hear me? Pretending. Well, I'm really spiritual. Look at me. Boy, that just didn't look like somebody popping drugs and being a prostitute and all that kind of thing. That looks evil, doesn't it? Drugs and prostitution. All that looks evil. Guess what this is? Look at me. Evil! It's of the devil. Pretending is of the devil. Young man, shut that door for me. Thank you. It's of the devil. When we pretend and play games with God, this is a problem. Number three, it's a matter of the heart. Well, I didn't mean to do it. You are lying. You do mean to do it. And I mean to do it. When we pretend, it's not like, oops, slipped. It's a matter of, say it with me, it's a matter of the heart. It's your own will and it's your choice. Nobody made Ananias and Sapphira do what they did. It was their choice. They wanted to play games with God. It was a matter of their heart. Number four, it's lying to God. You know, that's what it is. It's like something you enter into by choice to fool God and lie to God. You know, I just don't understand that. Didn't make any sense. But that's what pretending to be someone you're not really is. We're talking about spiritually speaking. The last thing, it's tempting God. Has anybody ever gotten your face before? Listen to me. Anybody ever gotten your face before? Real close. Got right in your little space, say. And they were ticked off at you, and you know, they knew it, and they're right there. Right. Oh, good. Boy, you better back up. I'm going to knock you out. You better back up right now. You ever been there? Say. I mean, you're all right as long as you come. I'm telling you, what we used to do to cross that line, I'll knock you out. Listen, pretending, here's what my view on it is. Here's me, pretending to be spiritual. And something that you're not, in my view, it's like telling God, you cross that line. You see, it seems to me to require a response from God. It really does. I can't prove it. But I think that when we pretend to be something that we're not spiritually, I think you're really tempting God. And I really believe that you're going to pay for it. And I know you're going to pay for it in the life to come. But I personally believe you're going to pay for it in this life. No hands raised. But how many have known people who pretended to be something that they're not? And the gig was up. And the family found out about it. And the wife found out about it. And their life was devastated. You ever known stories like that? I've known, in my position, a few stories like that. So, Basic facts. We've seen them. Now, let's flip the page. Oh, thank you, Raj. Hebrews 10:31. Say it with me. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So that's our basic facts. We've seen those. Number two, real quick, pretending these are some unknowns. This verse really got me and rattled my cage. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, say it with me, not knowing what was done. There's some unknowns in pretending. Here they are. Not knowing how this pretentious pursuit that you're on, listen, how it's going to affect others. How it's going to affect others. It's going to affect, no, it's my secrets. I just do it me. Yeah, just me. Yeah. Listen, you don't know how it's going to affect somebody else. The second thing is this. You don't know how it's going to affect God. Well, I'll just pretend to be something I'm not. And see, I can just smooth everybody. But you don't realize there's a God in heaven, and that's affecting him. That's affecting him. That's affecting him. I'm being affected, God's saying. That's ticking me off. Do you understand? Tough message, isn't it? Number three, not knowing how it'll affect you. I can pretend nobody will ever know. Look at me. I'm. You don't know how it's going to affect you, do you? You think Ananias and Sapphira went that day to church thinking, we're going to get this money. We're going to be killed about 3 hours. Yes, sir. You think they knew that? They thought, we'll pretend. They're going to tell us like they did Barnabas. Woo, thank God, praise Jesus. Amen. They're going to get so happy in the church. God was affected. Others were affected. And guess what? It affected them. Not knowing. Boy, there's some unknowns. And guess what? You don't have to go there. This is a part of life you don't have to live. Amen? Life's hard enough without playing games with God. Be who you are. He accepts you just as you are. Isn't that great? That's why he says, you're sinners. All it's, I'm not a sinner. Pretending. Yes, you are. He says, we're all sinners. The ground's level at the cross. That's why Jesus died. We don't have to pretend. It doesn't impress him. Pretending perverts reality. Pretending perverts reality. Here's what I mean by that. Look at it. You start playing the pretending game, and before long, say it with me, you're living it. My wife and I, particularly, when I say that, we have visions of just folk that come to our head. There are some people, I've certainly been guilty of this in my life. But there are some that if you're not real careful with this pretending game, you can start to believe the lie. You can start to believe I'm this person that you're not. Does that make sense to you? It's a spooky sermon, ain't it? Weird. But it's true. Be careful. You just might start living it. Totally in a perverted reality. Here's the kicker, though. A lot of other people are looking, and they know you're living in it. They know it's a perverted reality. Not all the time, but sometimes. Now look at the last thing. Boy, it'd be a sad story if I had to end right here. Now here's the last. Here's some help. I think we've all been guilty of pretending to be somebody we're not. I don't know why that is. It happens. But you need some help today. And I want to give you just some encouragement. Real fast, there was a man named Nicodemus. Can you say that with me? Nicodemus. Let's look at some help. John 3:1-3. Not going to tell the whole story. He was a Pharisee, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a ruler of the Jews. Watch it. He came to Jesus by night. He said unto him, Rabbi, we know you're a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He didn't attribute them unto Satan, did he? Say. He was a Pharisee that a light was going on. Ding, 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 ding. Okay? Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What does Nicodemus teach us? He gives us some help for pretending. See, he was one. He was one. He was a Pharisee. Here's the help that Nicodemus, the advice Nicodemus says, get out. Can you say that with me? Get out. One more time. Let's holler. Come on. Get out. Thank you, young man. Praise God, she's getting it. Amen. Listen. Listen. Nicodemus got out. He came to Jesus by night. He made a way, some way. I can't keep living like this. He got out. Look at this verse. It's for you today. Look at it. Here it is. For God, this was said to Nicodemus, guys. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Wow, what a verse to hold on to. Amen. Woo-hoo! Get out. You can get out of this pretending junk and this life of I'm spiritual when you know inside you're dying. Listen, Nicodemus tells you, get out. Get out of that life. Look at the next one. The woman of Samaria, John 4, 16 through 24, Jesus needed some water. He went to her and said, give me some water. She gave Him some water. Jesus said, if you knew who asked, give you water, you would say, give me water because I'm the living water and you could never thirst again. Look at some scriptures. Back it up. And then Jesus says something to her. Long story. He says, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said, you got that right. I have no husband. Look. Verse 18. For thou hast five husbands, and he whom you live with now is not your husband. In that saidest thou truly. The woman then tries to play religious. The woman said unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Look at this. She tried to talk religion with Jesus. Look at this. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. That's plain English, ain't it? You worship you know not what. We know what we worship for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What's the lesson the woman of Samaria teaches us? Here it is. Get right. Get right. Get right. Nicodemus, his lesson to us was what? Get out. Don't live life like that. And the woman of Samaria teaches us to get right. Now, why do we come up with that? Look at this verse. Come clean. Look at this verse. John 4, 28 and 29. The woman then left her water pot, and she went her way into the city, and she said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What does that tell me? That tells me Jesus put the finger right on it, didn't He? You got that right. You ain't got no husband. You got five of them living with a sixth. She tried to play the little religious thing. She threw that out the window, friend. And look, she went out so excited. How in the world can you be excited about Jesus knowing all your sin? Say, it can be an exciting thing that you can be so real and so clean and so transparent with God that you start to realize that the fact that He knows your sin is a good thing. And you can talk to Him about it and you can confess it. What does confession mean? It means what? Agreeing with what? God. And so she got right. Now here's the last one. This is the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1:10. We've been using Philippians in this little series. That ye may approve things that are excellent, say it with me, that ye may be what? Say it one more time. That ye may be? One last time. That ye may be? Boy, isn't that the opposite of pretending? And without offense till the day of Christ. Get real. Get real. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us today. Get real. Nicodemus says, get out! Don't live your life like that. The woman of Samaria says, what'd she say? Help me. Get right! Get right! My head. Get right! Come clean! And then the Apostle Paul says, get real. Be sincere. Sincere. And we're done with the message today. So hang in here. Thank you for listening. Sincere comes from a Latin word meaning without wax. Sincere comes from a Latin word meaning without wax. It also comes from a Greek term meaning son,
tested. So what is that about? Without wax and sun tested. Here it is. Leave here today knowing this. The ancients had a very fine porcelain, which was very valuable and expensive. Often when it was fired in the kiln, tiny cracks would appear. And dishonest merchants would smear this pearly white wax over the cracks. Then sell it as the real deal. See, very good pottery. Yes, 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 very good. Good stuff. But under the light of the sun, the cracks would show up. Good stuff. Whoa, hang on, dude. Let me hold that thing. Look at that. You're lying like a dog. You know what I'm saying? Look at them cracks. That's where the word comes from. Wax and sun tested. Under the light of the sun, the cracks would show up. And they would go, no sensata, no sensata. You know, brawl would break out. But look at this. When there were no cracks, when there were no cracks. Can you say that with me? Try your whatever it is. Sensata. One more time. Sensata. Boy, that's what I want to be in my life. I'm still getting there, okay? Still getting there. We finished today pretending. Get out. Get right. Get real. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for this message. Thank you for your word. Thank you for helping us today understand the word better. Father, I pray for your people. I pray for myself that we will think long and hard about the lesson today. Help us, Father. Father, I just pray for extra help with this message right now, that you would drive it home into people's hearts, that it would find good ground. Father, thank you for church. Thank you where we could have a time like this, where we could get aside and it wouldn't be a waste of time, but we could actually learn something and maybe change our life for forever, forever. I pray for this message and your Holy Spirit to work in hearts right now, Father. I just pray that folks have got their guard down right now, and you can get in, and you can talk to them. You can show them things in their life where they're playing games with you. Father, that's been my desire, just for people to not live their whole life being somebody they're not, and then one day, you not knowing them. God, I pray you'd help. Drive this message home in Jesus' name.